Father, again, we do love you and praise your name. Thank you that it does not depend on us, but it depends on you, that we're not saved by our works, we're not saved by how good we are. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Father, help us as individuals to understand that, to come to you, Father, in faith believing. And then, Father, as your church, the body of Christ, made up of individual members, Lord, help us to be living that out each day, that others may see the light, that others may see the truth, that others may feel your love. Father, forgive me of my sins. Help me do your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about falling away. Now, why are we doing that? Because if you've been looking at news, you have probably seen several prominent Christian artists recently have declared that they were no longer Christian, that they've left the faith. And you might say, well, how can that be? Well, I have encountered individuals in my own life, my own ministry, who were raised in church and then reached a point in their life where they declare, oh, I no longer believe that. And you might think, well, how does that happen? What's going on there? Well, let's look at some scripture today. From Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, God says this through the pen of the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him. Now, who is the Him? That's Jesus Christ. That you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul goes on to say there, that no matter if it's an angel or anybody else, if they preach any other gospel than Christ, Scripture says, let them be accursed. And it repeats it. It says, if anybody preaches anything other than Christ, let them, whether it's man or angel, be accursed. Let's keep going. 2 Thessalonians, verse 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Look at verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. We are seeing the falling away. Now, it hadn't just started. It's been going on since Jesus ascended. Individuals have come into the church proclaiming to be of Christ, but they rather are of the Antichrist. But yet and still, you would think someone who has grown up in the church, someone who has made a public profession of faith, would not fall away. How can you, when you have tasted of life, when you have seen the light, when you have walked in fellowship with Jesus Christ, how can you turn your back on Him? Let's keep going. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Are we not there today? Do you not see that going on today? Yes, you do. And that is partly why we see people who proclaim to be Christian falling away, because they are deceived and they are following the darkness and they are putting good for evil and evil for good, light for darkness and darkness for light. Remember, Satan is a deceiver. He's a counterfeiter, and he is all about doing that. Let's keep going. So, falling away, you know, what are we talking about? Well, these prominent musicians and artists that we've seen, and even some preachers that have left the faith, are just probably some that made the news. They're not all that have occurred. But these are troubling to me because of, among other things, these people are in a position of responsibility. They're in a position of influencing other people. What do you think a new Christian who has looked up to these individuals thinks when he hears this music, this worship leader or this preacher all of a sudden say, "I no longer believe in Christ"? Troubling. Let's keep going. One other verse of Scripture I want to read us that's not on the board, that as a matter of fact we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, comes from 1 John chapter 4. You might want to write that down. 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Verse 6 says, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Number one, this falling away, unfortunately, is nothing new. It has been happening because Satan's tactics still work. Do they not? They still work. They worked on Adam and Eve, and they work on the people today as well. Sometimes it's because we want to believe a lie, perhaps. Apostasy, which is perverted doctrine, belief in error, however you want to term it, apostasy has been around since the beginning of the church. There have been people who proclaim to be preachers, who proclaim to be disciples of Jesus Christ, who are in fact disciples of Satan. Just because somebody tells you that they know Jesus, just because somebody tells you they're preaching the truth, does not mean they are. That's why 1 John chapter 4 says, test the spirits. What are you going to test them with? You can't put an electronic lead on them. What are you going to do? How are you going to test the spirit? You test the spirit by the Word of God. If the spirit you encounter does not match up to the Word of God, leave it alone. If somebody proclaims to be teaching the Word of God and they are teaching perversion, leave them alone. Go somewhere else or kick them out, whichever the case may be. You follow the Word of God. Don't follow a person. Don't follow any man. You follow Jesus Christ. You see, Satan is a deceiver. Expect it out of him. Don't be surprised. That's his M.O. That's how he operates. He tries to deceive us. At some point in time, I know if you've been a Christian any more than a few days, Satan has attempted to deceive you about something. I guarantee it. He does it all the time. How can you keep from being deceived? Know the truth and walk in the truth. That's how you keep from being deceived. We've talked about it before. How you pick out a counterfeit $20 bill. You can't possibly know every possible counterfeit bill. You don't have to. You know what the real bill looks like, and if it don't match it, it's counterfeit, right? Well, if the truth, quote unquote, their teaching does not match up the truth with a capital T, then leave it be. Leave it be. Satan is the deceiver. Expect it. And our faith, don't get upset, our faith has undergone assault since the very beginning. The Word of God has endured assaults since the very beginning. It's nothing new. Nothing anybody has come up with is new. Doesn't Scripture say that? It's all the same. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, somebody that comes up with some kind of new thing, I don't believe the Bible because of this, that's nothing new. I guarantee you somebody else come up with that same idea, and yet the truth of God's Word still stands. Thousands of years, it still stands. So when somebody comes up and says, you believe all those old stories and all that stuff? Man, that's archaic. No, it's not. It's just as viable and just as true today as it was thousands of years ago when it was written, because this is the living Word of God. The living Word of God. So this apostasy, this false doctrine, this falling away, unfortunately, is not new. But that don't mean I want to be part of it. Do you want to be part of it? I hope not. I hope not. I've encountered individuals who grew up in church, who were active in a youth group, and get away to college or go into the military or go into the workforce, and then before you know it, they've fallen by the way. So I'm reminded of the parable of the sower and the seed. How some of them get choked out by the cares of the world. How some of them jump up seemingly wonderful and then die out because they have no root in themselves. And some of them never germinate at all. Now Scripture tells us that once we are His, nobody can take us out of His hand. So what is this falling away? Well, either it's somebody who really does not know Jesus Christ, who they based it on an emotion or they based it on something else, not really being saved, and so they are lost and undone. Or perhaps it's somebody who was or is saved, but they have walked away from Jesus Christ. Now, if they're truly saved, are they still saved? Yes, they are. But are they going to be the most unhappy and unjoyful people you ever met? Yes, they will. And Scripture says there is a sin leading to death. Now, what is it? Where is it? I don't want to know. I don't want to cross that line. So, don't be surprised that this happens. Be ready for it. Number two, know the foundation of your faith. Scripture talks about the house built on the sand and the house built on the rock. And, you know, I can remember as a kid, me and my brother and my sister, not compared to some I've seen lately on YouTube, but we built some fairly elaborate sand castles. You know, we had little buckets and we had sand castles that was as big as we were just about. And we spend hours building these sand castles. And what you think happened to them? Every one of them got washed away. We knew it was going to happen when we built it. We were down there in July in Orange Beach, and they were building a new condo next to where we were staying. They don't build a condo on the sand, because what do you think would happen if they did? It'd come tumbling down. They pulled all the sand. I mean, they had mountains of sand. They had pulled all this sand out, and they had a huge, powered, gigantic jackhammer, for lack of a better term, and they were driving the steel down into the bedrock, because the only way you're going to build something of substance, the only way you're going to build something that's going to last, is if it's grounded in a firm foundation. Well, friends, if you want your life to stand the test of time, it's got to be rooted and grounded in a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Know your foundation. Do you have real faith in the real person of Jesus Christ? Not what somebody said He is, not who you think He is, but who He says He is in His Word. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is your faith based on His Word, or is it based on somebody else's faith? Young people, this is for you first and foremost. Do you believe Jesus Christ on your faith or on mom and dad's faith? Because if it's on mom and dad's faith, that faith is not going to hold you up when you meet the deceiver in college, at work, or in the military, or wherever else you may meet him. Because you don't know what your faith's built on if it's built on somebody else's faith. You've got to know Jesus Christ personally. Nobody gets into heaven on somebody else's faith. I've met individuals say, you start asking them about their faith, and they'll say something like, oh, my mom was a great Christian. Well, I'm glad to hear that, but your mom's faith's not going to get you into heaven. Grandmom's prayer's not going to get you into heaven. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Know that you know that you know where your faith is centered on. If your faith is built on a human, you're in trouble, with a capital T. Now, I will always do my best to give you the truth of God. It would just tear me up if I thought I had given error. But I am human. I could make a mistake. I have. Once. But don't build your faith on me. Don't build your faith on Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, or anybody else, any other man or woman for that matter. Build your faith on Jesus Christ. People will let you down. People will mess up. They do it all the time. Didn't Peter mess up? Did he? Paul messed up. They all messed up. We're all messed up. Don't build your faith on another person. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, well, so-and-so hurt my feelings at that church. I get my feelings hurt at work, but I still have to go to work. Don't build your faith on somebody. Build it on Jesus Christ. You see, we are secured by His Spirit, not by what we think, not by our works, not by our position in a church, not by what church we're a member of, not by what preacher we listen to, not by what songs we sing. We are secured by the Spirit of God. We are saved by grace through faith. We're secured by the Spirit of God. Not by what you think, but by what God has said. Once we are truly saved, we establish a real relationship, and it never, ever changes. If you are saved, then you become a child of God, and you cannot unbecome a child of God. However, you can grieve the Spirit of God and be led astray and create all kinds of havoc in your own life. You remember David? Was David, King David, saved? Yeah, I believe he was. But did he really, really, really mess up? Yes, he did. And it created all kinds of trouble for him and for the nation of Israel, even today. Even today. The sword still not left the kingdom of Israel. Your faith must be your faith and not somebody else's faith. I don't want to know, and God does not want to know, what somebody else believes. When He's talking to you, He asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Because didn't Peter... Well, Jesus asked first, "Who do others say that I am?" And he started recounting all these things other people say. But Jesus' main point is, "But who do you say I am?" Because when you stand before God, you don't have to answer for me. You don't have to answer for the person sitting next to you. You have to answer for yourself. And there's no squirming out of it. No squirming out of it. Always, Scripture says, always be ready to give an answer, to give a reason for your hope. Why is your hope in Jesus Christ? Somebody's going to ask you, why do you believe in Jesus instead of Muhammad? Why do you believe in Jesus instead of Buddha? Why do you believe in Jesus instead of yourself? Why do you do these things? Why don't you go here? Why don't you go there? And it's no defense. It's no good to say, oh, just because I don't. Because you're going to start wondering, why do I do that? Or why do I not do that? There's a reason. Why do I come to church on Sunday? Maybe it's because mom and dad drags you here. Why do I worship? Why do I pray? Why do I? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Or are you just going through motions? Being religious will do no good. Won't do any good. Having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ will do eternal good. So, don't be surprised that Satan is at work. We already know from Scripture and from experience that he's doing that. He doesn't take a holiday, doesn't take a vacation. He'll come to church. He'll work on you wherever. So, also, we got to know what our foundation is. Is my faith built on the person of Jesus Christ, or is it built on something else? Now, listen to me just a second. Do not get caught up in feel-good Christianity. Now, what do I mean? Jesus called us to Him, to salvation. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that I'm called to a life of ease and comfort and profit, and everything is always going to be good. You remember Job? Stuff don't always go good. The stuff doesn't matter, really. And part of that is because He wants us to understand the stuff doesn't matter. The relationship is what matters. You are not going to take anything with you. Nothing. The only thing that's going to matter is if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's all that's going to matter. Thirdly, persevere. Keep on keeping on. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." Now, sometimes we get tired. And I know some of you guys do a lot of work here. We get tired. I understand. I get tired sometimes too. And yes, even pastors sometimes, even preachers sometimes, you know, just want to say, man, I'm not doing any good. I'm just ready to give it up. Sure. And sometimes they do give it up. We all have those moments. But Scripture says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Due season. How many of you in here like tomatoes? You like tomatoes? Yeah. How long does it take to get a tomato off your plant when you plant it? 60 days, 90 days? It's a long time. Watermelons. Man, the only person I know that loves watermelons more than me was my grandmother. Dad's mom loved watermelons. But you go plant the little watermelon seed, you're not going to get a watermelon tomorrow. And now I got a fig tree in my backyard. And this is the first year. I love figs. This is the first year it's made figs. You know, enough figs to put up figs. And I go out there every day to check on it. Now, the problem is I eat them as fast as they come off the tree. And I've picked so many ripe ones that the other day I walked out there, and Kathy's little dog will eat figs too, so he'll follow me. He knows I'm going to the fig tree, and he'll follow me. So I told Cookie, I said, I'm afraid we're out of luck today. I looked that tree over. I found one fig that was ripe. So I shared it with Cookie. But, you know, the point is, he says, in due season, we shall reap. Our problem, you know, be honest, aren't you impatient? Aren't you? How long you want to wait at McDonald's? You know, but we don't want to wait. We were with some friends of ours down in Orange Beach, and we went out to this steak place. It was supposed to be, the best steak place in the state, right? Number one. So we almost pulled up in the driveway. I was on Canal Road, and man, the cars were parked in the driveway, on the side of the road, everywhere. I'm like, this is not looking good. So pulled up, went in there. They said, be about an hour and a half wait. I said, I'm not that hungry for your steak, because I don't want to wait. But God says, wait on the Lord. And He says, in due season, if you do not give up, you will reap. His timing, not our timing. Strive to have an eternal view. What's that mean? It means strive to let God give you His vision, not our limited blinder view. Because we think stuff's not going good, you know, but God's got a better view. Strive to have His view. And then please, if you don't get anything else, rely on faith and on His Word, not on your own emotions. Because sometimes you're going to feel like everything is right with the world. Sometimes you're going to feel like everything is wrong with the world. Sometimes you're going to feel like, I don't know where God's at. Don't you think, really? Job probably felt that way. God, what's going on here? What's wrong? And he asked God, didn't he? And what did God tell him? What did God tell him? God told him, look at me, here I am. That's basically what he told him. Rely on faith and on His Word, not on your own emotions. Heaven is not something gained by popular vote. You're not going to be popular. Let me say that from up here. You're not going to be popular with the world if you proclaim Jesus Christ. You're going to be even less popular with the world if you're living for Jesus. But the world is not going to vote you into heaven either. You don't get into heaven based on popular vote. You get into heaven based on a relationship with Jesus Christ and Him alone, period. End of paragraph. Don't follow the crowd. What did Jesus say? He said, narrow and winding is the path that leads to salvation. Broad and wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Don't follow the crowd. Do not follow the crowd. Here's your compass point. Don't let others, whoever they are, or however many of them there are, do not let them discourage you from following Jesus. I promise you, you will never be sorry to give your life to Jesus Christ. I also promise you, you will forever be sorry if you don't. Father, thank you for your words. Help us to not grow weary in well-doing. Lord, help us to not be discouraged by the crowd or deceived by Satan. But Father, help us rather to be encouraged by your Spirit, to be loving you and following after you. Father, to understand that we live in a fallen world, but that we have the truth, that we have the light, and we are to be that salt and light that you've called us to be. Father, help us to do that. In the next few minutes, whatever decision we need to make, help us to turn our lives over to you, realizing that our time on this planet is limited. No matter how old we are, our time is limited. We need to redeem the time. Father, thank you for your love and your blessing. For what you're going to do, we give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.